blessed be the Lamb. Father, we worship you. We glorify you with great anticipation for the wonderful things that you have done and will do and continue to do in us and through us in this day. Father, I thank you for our participation in this service will be made by your grace. Take us next to the next level, Lord. Take us to the next place of serving you, serving one another. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. I can't wait to get into the Word this morning. We've got some powerful stuff that'll be coming. And get into some intimacy. Let me exhort you for just a moment. I really don't have chapter and verse in Scripture that I'm going to share. I'm so appreciative of your faithfulness in giving, and that so many of you have learned that pastor doesn't have to ever do a solicitation, but we have taught for years the quality of service that provides you with an opportunity to share in worship. And when I say share in worship, it's just that, because your giving is really a part of your worship life. Those of you that are serving with us here are serving on an intimacy, a level of desiring to see, not what I'm trying to get out across to you, but it's your heart and it's your desire. And we saw more giving in 2018 than we've ever seen. And I appreciate that, so praise God. I'd have to go back and have the records checked, but I think that's probably an absolute correct assessment. So we don't, around here, judge on how spiritual we are based on giving. It's just that I'm thankful. I'm very thankful for your heart. And so I'm asking you to make a bunch of money this next year so you can be blessed and so that you can bless the church. I hope you don't think I'm going to be blessed so I can sock it away or pay off this or pay off that, but I pray that you're like, my God, a bunch of this has got to go to the church. Praise God. And we won't abuse it and we won't misuse it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I appreciate that. Amen. So let's get ready to give. So Father, I thank you for those that are listening to you. They're not prodded by man or pressured by man, but I thank you, Father, that the Holy Ghost is putting together not only the spiritual part of this revival, but the part that finances it, which is also very spiritual. Speak to the hearts of men and women that are listening worldwide and that are in this place. Thank you for the gift, the giver. We bless it all now in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Let's all stand again. Father, we worship you and we praise you for that grace that has appeared unto all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and to walk soberly in this present world, to follow you. We bless you. We bless and give glory and praise and honor and thanksgiving. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the dependency that we have on one, the precious Holy Spirit. Both not only ourselves as the speaker, but those of the hearer and those that listen and have ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. I pray not only for those that are seated here, but for those that will be watching. Those that are watching and those that will be watching in the days ahead. Let the life and the grace of your word penetrate our hearts and spirits in Jesus' precious name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody said amen. Praise the Lord. We've got several handouts we're going to give to you. That's kind of unusual for us. But every once in a while, we'll have a service like this. I've got some thoughts I want to share with you before we get started this morning. These handouts will primarily be from the present-day speaking that comes from the Family Prayer Center in Tulsa. But most of those are a computation or compilation, rather, of words that are being spoken throughout the whole body of Christ. In other words, it may be coming from this church. It may be coming from a number of different places. It may be coming from their locale there. But they are judged, and they are judged through a group of people that are mature and are fathers in the faith, mothers in the faith, those that are really have been around a while. And So we're going to look at some prophecies, and we're going to look at some things that the Holy Spirit is saying to us, present tense. I believe you understand this, but I'll repeat it. Speaking prophecy, when prophecy comes to the body of Christ, when it is judged by the Word of God, then it becomes co-equal in authority to the written Word. That's how much stake you can put on. A lot of times people will hear a prophecy given or read a prophecy, and they'll think, okay. But if it is founded in the Word, listen, when Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy, war with the prophecy, my son Timothy, war with the prophecies that went before you. War with those prophecies. It's amazing. Now, he was not negating the Word of God, but it just amazes me. He didn't say, and you, of course, we've taught multiple lessons on how you war with the Word of God. But Paul highlights there and says the prophecies, and he wasn't talking about written beforehand prophecies. He was talking about the things that when he, as one of the presbyters of the church, laid his hands upon Timothy and prophesied over him, he said, war with these prophecies. In other words, take them into effect and war with them. Use them as if they were co-equal in authority with the Word of God. And that's very important for us to understand. I don't know what those were. We don't have a written, we don't have anything written on those. They didn't make the canon of Scripture, but they were for Timothy. I can only imagine. I know Timothy must have written them down. Paul wrote his stuff down. He had other people writing his stuff down. Timothy had to be one like Paul that would write his stuff down. And so in doing so, I'm sure that Timothy had those things written down and he could rehearse them to himself. What were they like? I don't know. Probably a lot like what we hear when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. You will win. Don't stop. Fight a good fight. Don't become intimidated. Don't fear. Stay the course. Don't get off to the right or to the left. Don't get into, you know, the same thing that the Word would say as in what Paul said to the church, but also personally, very personally to Timothy. Hallelujah. So we're going to read some of that this morning. We're going to have pass them out. It's going to be some of your homework to take home. I would encourage you, please, 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 please. The only way this works, it doesn't work if you read it as far off stuff. It only works as if you adopt it for yourself and say, okay, I believe this is the Word of God. And of course, judge everything. Please, judge these prophecies yourself. I don't throw something at you and say, okay, this has already been judged. You must accept it. Please, judge every prophecy. Judge it with your heart and judge it according to the Word of God. Those two things, prerequisites to judging all things. But as you judge all things, as you judge things, then adopt it for yourself and say, this is something that I can really sink my teeth into. In other words, do your homework. You're going to have a lot to take home with you. And then I would say, please, next week, tomorrow, throughout the week, read this, rehearse it, let it become part of you, stick it in a file someplace, and let it become part of your blueprint and our blueprint, so that we know where we're going. The Last Day Army is a reality. Now, we've been talking about the Last Day Army for a while, and especially over the last several weeks, and there's been a parenthesis in the Spirit on intimacy, on worship, private worship. And so I remember the days when I first started out. I'll tell you what, I never will forget, and I'll tell you, it changed my whole life and my whole ministry. When Miss Barbara Fish invited Candy and I out to Tulsa in 1997, March of 1997, brought us out there, helped us to get out there, and the Lord changed my whole life. When I came back, I was already a born-again, Spirit-filled, been through 4 years of Bible college, and I'm not talking about just online, and I'm not against somebody taking something online, but I had to go to class every day and sit there. And would spend my hours, and was a four-year college. It's a university now. But I knew about praying in tongues. I was Spirit-filled, been in Spirit-filled ever since I was 14 years old. But we did not know necessarily how important it was and what it would do for you. Just because you wanted to go into God, you could systematically. So when I came back, when I walked, short story because you've heard the long version, but when I went there, I died. Not physically, but in my heart, I died to myself. I said, I'm going to go back. I'm going to give away, or I'm going to do whatever it takes. I don't care what it takes. I'm not going to stay in the business anymore. I know I'm called to the ministry. I've got to. And the Lord said to me at that time, now this is just something he said to me, and of course I was going into the ministry, so it meant this was my assignment. Your assignment probably won't ever be like this or could be like this at times. But the Lord said to me, he said, if you'll go back, and he told me how many days he wanted me to fast every quarter. I mean, I heard this because I spent that afternoon as Candy and Barbara, and I think there was one or two others with us. They left the service. They were going to come back. I said, I can't. I got to stay here. I walked the sanctuary. I cried. I prayed. I was like, my God, what's wrong with me? I don't know. I'm losing it. What is wrong? But I was hurting. I was hurting. I was like, just as if you'd heard if somebody said, you know, some one of your closest friends died. You know, that kind of gut-wrenching, like, and I wasn't trying to be super spiritual or pseudo-spiritual. I wasn't trying to put on a show. There wasn't nobody in there watching me, so it was just me and God. And I was just weeping and just crying, and this, God, please help me through this thing. I don't know what's going on here, but I knew, and God said, if you'll go back and do this, he said, if you'll fast this many days per quarter, and if you'll pray nonstop, in tongues, 3 hours a day, nonstop, I will launch you from where you're at into the ministry. So, I mean, it was my assignment and what I needed to do, and I knew that he was going to do it. So I remember I would go, this was how, and it was systematic. It was one of those systematic things. I'd go and get my men started, and at that time I had a different business. My dad had a different business. I'd go and get my guys started, and I would come back. Once I knew they were good, they had all the equipment they needed, all the, you know, the materials for the day, I'd come back, go in my room, you know, lock the door, do whatever, sit there on that carpet. I remember I had a place, you know, my favorite place to sit, and I would just like for 3 hours, I mean, like, and sometimes it was like, my God, you know, and I mean nothing, boom, 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 and every day, and you know, you've heard the how that God launched me into all that. But the point that I'm making right now is that was a systematic, like legalistic, in a good sense of the word, legalistic way for God to launch me. Because at the end of all that, months later, a grace came, launched me into the ministry. It was very powerful. You've heard that whole testimony before. But I'm saying that to say this. Once we've come to a place of maturity, and I say not myself, I'm not pointing myself, but I'm talking about all of us constructively as a body of Christ. We first once, as we were hearing this message and as we were hearing a lot of the what we would call, we don't try to get legalistic with it, but the inroads, the fivefold inroads or the five different inroads, four pillars, however you want to say it, it was like they were sectioned off and you had to do those particularly. And you just needed to, okay, either sit and pray in tongues, and then you had once you got that done, it was segmented. At least it was for me, and I think it was taught this way in a certain sense because we were so militaristic about let's learn this facet of the, you know, of going into God. And then we would worship for 2 hours or whatever. I've found out as we've matured and as I've matured and as is that intimacy congregates a whole lot of it employs all of it. I find now as I sit there in the early morning hours way before dawn and it's dark outside and I'm sitting there drinking my coffee and I'm worshiping God, and I'll begin by worshiping God, but the integration, there's no law there, the integration of tongues begins to flow, and as I begin to flow in tongues and I'll go back into worship, and I mean all of it, you know, it's a continual vacillation. It's back and forth. I'm worshiping and I'm praying in tongues, and it's not like cookie cutter, check, check, check. It's just all, it's all God. It's all God. And every once in a while, in that all of God, and I'm worshiping, every once in a while, at a crescendo of the moment, as I'm worshiping him, I'll feel the Holy Spirit kind of do this, kind of nudge me. And in that nudge, I'll feel, this is a good time to offer your petition. And it's not like I've elevated myself to where now God's real happy with me, and so he can salute me and say, okay, you know, you've worshiped me enough, now I'm going to reward you. It's just that I have elevated my spirit to a place where real faith comes forth. I'm worshiping, praying in tongues, and it used to be, I know, I'm speaking for myself, that I would be like, okay, pray in tongues, I'm going to worship, oh, and then I'm going to have my petition, and then I'm going to do my confessions, and then I'm going to do this, that. I find this just beautiful symphony of an antiphonal back and forth between me and God now that I can worship, pray in tongues, and then every once in a while, you know, and I'll have those times where I'll segment it, I'll just offer petition, but a lot of times in that beauty of holiness where I'm just worshiping God, the Holy Spirit will elbow me a little bit and say, offer that petition now. It's a good time to offer it up. That's a good time to pray for somebody. That's a good time to offer that up, because you're right there in intimacy with Daddy. Hallelujah. Does that make sense? I hope it does. This army is, let me read these. I don't know how far we'll get into these handouts, but that's okay. I'm not going to take it too fast. In fact, at the end of the service, we're going to come up and have the worship team come up for just a little bit worship. We're not going to try to, we can't create in and of ourselves just legalistically like long stays with God, but we sure want to flirt with Him. We sure want to flirt with Him. So, hallelujah. The modern day church, all of us included, I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching, we always have something planned. You know, it's like our whole life, it's planned. And it's like our, you know, even our Sundays now are work days. And there's nothing wrong. I mean, it's not a sin to work on Sunday. It's not. Jesus said, the day, you weren't created for the day. The day was created for you. But He also gave a tremendous, you know, God gave us an example of what the day was should be like on the most part. God worked like crazy for 6 days. He didn't work like crazy. He just worked. And on the seventh one, He just said, I'm going to rest. The church at large, and a lot of times you got stuff you got to do. I know that. But the church at large, what has become so popular is the convenient early morning, 1 hour service of the modern day church. It's become, because people do their, they do their tip to God, and they can feel good about themselves, and then they can just go ahead and do, you know, get busy for the day. Really, God showed the Old Testament pattern was if you worked really hard for 6 days and gave Him one to just kind of dedicate it to just doing nothing but contemplating, worshiping, and I know if you're a, you know, I'm another, it's, you just can't be legalistic about that. You might be a cop, you might be a nurse, you might work for an airline, people have to work on Sundays, and sometimes we all have to do stuff, but I'm telling you, the church at large has scheduled, the reason why God can't hardly get us, the church at large, is He can't get on our docket. He can't get on our time. You know, it's like we can't squeeze Him in, and we're never saying I can't squeeze you in, but we schedule things so tight that's like, I'd really love to stay in worship today, but I got to go do something. And that's me too. How often I schedule stuff right after church, you know, and I never short you on what God has to say, but I'm always thinking about, you know, this, that, and the other. Okay, hallelujah. Y'all still love me. I hope you do. Okay. Some of y'all say amen, even I'll pay you afterwards. Okay. This army is a vocal army. It really is. Well, let me read this. It's also an army that does unordinary stuff, and this is not pulling out of context. If you go to Daniel chapter 11, Daniel is prophesying all the way to the end. How can an Old Testament prophet prophesy all the way to the end? Daniel is prophesying this chapter of the Antichrist, the end, and he even prophesies of the coming of Christ. It blows my mind that an Old Testament prophet can do that. But he says this in chapter 11, verse 32. He says, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant," he's talking about the Antichrist, "shall he corrupt by flatteries. But in the end time," this was the end time events, "but the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits." The word exploits means out of the ordinary stuff. You guys, you gals, you'll be doing out of the ordinary stuff. The other thing, too, that speaks so strong about the end time army is this. This army is a vocal. It's vocal. It's a vocal army. It's not a mute army or a silent army. It does much speaking, and the ladies and the females get their turn just with as much authority to speak as the men. Joel chapter 2, 28, don't turn there, but we've read it, especially over the last few weeks. And it shall come to pass afterwards, God says, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters, before he even prophesies about the power that they will exhibit in the top part of that chapter, he says this, and this is the one that Peter referred to. He says, they shall prophesy. That's the first beginning part of revival, is prophecy. People speaking, people that know their God, the men and the women and the young adults and the millennials and those that are coming up in this will begin to prophesy and speak the mind of Christ, speak the mind of Christ. You know, you go to, this is no brag, this is just what it is, by the grace of God, this is where we've prayed ourselves into. You go to a church where the pastor is a prophetic pastor. You go to Jim will be coming, in a couple weeks now? He's a prophetic pastor. Gary's a prophetic teacher. The teachers and the ministers, whatever their main fivefold call is prophetic, is slash, if they're a pastor, slash prophetic. In other words, prophetic in this, yes, we can prophesy. You often hear me prophesying, and most of the time I don't even have any idea before I get here. I mean, it just comes on me to prophesy. And you're welcome always to check those words out. We print them out, and you'll have them. You can look at them. You can say, you can come to me and say, I don't see this in Scripture. That's fine. That's perfect. I'm not challenged by that. I'll sit down with you. We'll look at Scripture. But a prophetic pastor and a prophetic people that you are, I'm saying this not to brag on myself, but to say this is who you are, because we're integrating with each other, is that to be a prophetic people. You know, a lot of men will stand up and they'll just take the word and they'll just teach it. They just feel like God gave them something. But to be a prophetic teacher, prophetic pastor, a prophetic exhorter, is to know what the mind of Christ is, present tense, and to speak that mind, to take the word of God, which is truth, not to bend it. You can't manipulate it or bend it, but speak it in such a way that it is conducive to the hour, that it's conducive to the moment, that it's conducive to where people are, what they're walking through, and where we're going collectively as a church. And so what we're hearing right now is intimacy. What I'm hearing is intimacy. And I said the other night, I said, when you hear us pastors or teachers speak, the topic that we're speaking on seems to be the one that's most important throughout the word of God. And I said that in a jest, but it's true in a certain sense. But right now, the Holy Spirit is saying again to us, please, with everything else that's going on in your life, pull the strings in as much as possible. Don't be diverted, or don't be distracted, rather, is the word I'm looking for. And stay intimate. Get intimate. Stay intimate. Hallelujah. So this, it says that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. In other words, they'll speak, not just the pastors, the sons and the daughters of this ministry, of this revival. They'll talk the mind of Christ. And he says, also upon my servants, upon my handmaids in those days, I will pour out of my spirit. It not only will be with demonstration that it has power, but it will be marked by people that can hear from God and will speak the oracles of God in the earth. So what we're actually seeing with all of everything we're going to turn out today and give you is you're seeing God speak, and again, it's a compiling of stuff that has maybe come from here, come from other churches, come from them locally. Hallelujah. So God is always speaking. Remember this, please, and I think you understand this, but I'll remind you, God speaks in many different ways. Now, the number one way that God speaks is through our inward witness. That's baby place, but first place. Babies don't even have to know the word of God, and like we've said before, they know it's wrong to go home and sleep with a girlfriend. You don't even have to preach that. You should preach it, but you don't even have to preach it, because they should know on the inside that's wrong. If they say, "Man, it never even dawned on me," well, then they need to get saved. And I'm not being sarcastic. They just need to get saved. I mean, that's just. They didn't have any bumper rails. Gary Carpenter calls them bumper rails. So the first place is, and this is, I'm not going to teach on hearing the voice of God, but I'm just talking about leading you up to how important it is to hear from these present present-day prophecies. Number one is our witness. That's just knowing, you know, kind of knowing like right and wrong. The inward, then there's the inward voice of the Holy Spirit. The more you pray, the more you develop, you can actually start hearing words. And you know they didn't come from your mind because they seem like they come from another place where you didn't make it up. It's like, wow, that's an amazing thought. Well, the Holy Spirit just gave you that, and he's talking to you. Then there's the Word of God, which you can actually say, okay, I read the Word. Well, God spoke to you today. He spoke to you out of His Word. And then there's dreams, and then there's visions. Please, all of you people that have been dreamers before, dream. Please dream. Please dream. Don't come to me with your pizza dreams, but just come to me. Please write your dreams down. There are people in here that really believe in their dreams. And there's visions. There's some external visions where we call them open visions. There's internal visions where you can see something even though your eyes are not closed. You're just seeing it. And then there's the fivefold ministry, God speaking to you. Listen, you should come. Every week when you come here, God should be speaking to you from His Word by my mouth, okay? I mean, that's another way that God is speaking to you. And so you say, well, I mean, and I don't think this is an argument by anybody in here, but if you ever went to a church where you said, I don't hear God's voice through our pastor, don't go there. Please don't go there. Don't make yourself miserable or other people miserable. Just don't go there. But if you say, God, because the fivefold, Ephesians 4:11, the fivefold ministry is supposed to be edifying, building you up, and speaking the wisdom of God to you. So that's another way. That's like six different ways already. And then there is the prophetic words that are spoken from the body to the body and edifies the body. So we're going to read some of those. And, of course, I'm going to read the whole thing, but I put down here in my notes Proverbs, where Proverbs says, wisdom just crying from the chief places of concourse. It's just like, hello, hello, hello. I think if we were to die, which don't die on me, please. Well, I need you for the revival. But if we got to heaven and you said, Lord, you just weren't speaking, and I think God would say, look, I'm speaking every Sunday through your pastor. Plus, I was speaking to you all the time. But besides for that, I just had all kind of daughters and sons just talking. And I was right. They were actually getting them on print, and I was getting it out to you as fast as I could. So it's like, let's stay awake. Let's spiritually stay awake. Hallelujah. Amen. Just checking my notes before we go into reading some of this other stuff. It's so important. Hallelujah. Let this become a major part of your blueprint, as I said. So much of this the Lord's already brought forth just as He was prophesying through me. So let's go ahead. Let's just pass out the first one. Don't pass out all of them to start with. Just the first one, I believe we'll have enough. This one should say days of my glory and strength. And I hope that's the one you're getting. I want to thank my lovely wife for printing all these up. She was printing these this morning. The Wi-Fi, for whatever went out, we prayed it came back on. Now this one here is, I'm going to read one after this that has not yet officially come out by Dave Roberson Ministries. I am part of, I don't know who else is part of, I think Jim's part of it. There's probably some ladies. There is, I know one lady that is. There's people that God has set in effect, and we don't ever... When we judge these things, they come to us, we're asked to judge them, and we don't ever call each other and say, what did you think about that? The other thing, too, is the beautiful part is Brother Tim will not let us know who gave it. So, you know, there's only been one or two times that I've ever wrote back and said, I've got a little bit of a problem, blah, 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 and I've actually kind of hashtagged it or kind of said this. I've also said, for God's sake, I hope this is not one of our leaders. You know, I hope I'm not fixing to get in trouble here, but here's the truth. Here's what Scripture says, and I've never gotten in trouble. I'm going to read one to you in a little bit that hasn't officially come out. I don't think I'll get in trouble because I'm one of the ones that judges it anyway, but if you want to report me to Pastor Tim or Brother Tim, you can, okay? So, hallelujah. But this one actually is official. And by the way, those of you that are listening, I don't know. Yeah, it's there it is. If you're home or you're kind of quick with stuff, I can't pass it through the camera, but I can tell you, let me see if I can find, I got this, my tray here with the ministries. Let's see. Dave Roberson hit this. Okay, so if you go to Dave Roberson's website, and one of the things, if you're not getting their present tense speakings, if you'll just go to their website, on the top tray, the top part, it just says emails. If you click that and go to emails, they don't ask you a bunch of questions. They just want you to give them their email, your email. Give them your email, and they'll start sending you these present-day speakings. On the face page, you'll see underneath Dave's picture, you'll see it's kind of an empty square there, but it does have Days of My Glory and My Strength. And if you click that, that whole, what we're about to read will come up. So all you got to do is go to his face page, click that, and you're going to read along with us. We're going to read one at the end that you'd have to go over to the far left, and I believe you go to, it's got like six different categories there. You just go to teaching letters. I believe that's going to take me. You go to teaching letters, and then once it goes to 2019 teaching letters, click that, and it'll go to January and then February. If you go to February and just, you know, hit February 2019, yep, you're going to get everything I'm going to read at the end, or going to try to read at the end. Like I said, we'll probably just passing out some of this for everybody to take home. Okay, over the last couple of three Wednesday nights in a row, we have been talking about intimacy, the importance of intimacy / private worship. Okay, so I don't want to be colorful here. I don't care about saying a lot of colorful words or fancy words to say, you know, that he really was speaking good. But what does he mean? What does he mean by intimacy? Intimacy is you having a private worship time. And as I said, it can be inside of praying in tongues and all kinds of good gobbledygook, good stuff that's going on between you and God. So, but how does that work? Well, you know, we read a template, a pattern in Revelation 4 and 5. There was like two chapters of what they said. You know, they said, listen, here's the thing. Don't try to figure out to say a whole bunch of words. Just, do you know how to say I love you? And do you know how to say it repetitively? But to try to pour into each statement of adoration as much affection as possible. Well, there were several. There's a dozen probably words, or I don't know how many words there, and statements by the elders that were repeated to God. So I'd say those, and then I would make up stuff. I mean, you don't really, if you had a good relationship, some people don't, they can't relate. If you had a good relationship with mother or father or both, or a family member or a wife or a husband, if you're really in love, it's not hard to figure out what good words to say to them. That's the thing about worship with God. Hallelujah. So we're talking about worship and what it's going to have an effect in this present ongoing ministry of revival. Let's look at first paragraph or stanza here. These are not, as some say, days to quickly put behind us. Has everybody got that handout? Am I reading the right one? Okay, yeah, because I could be wrong. These are days of my glory and my strength being poured out into vessels, for room is being made for these things. Even as a potter shapes, I hope you're seeing this. Please see this, and please put this as you in first person. Even as a potter shapes a vessel, making ample room for the water and ample room for the oil, so am I shaping vessels to hold more of me. Write all over this. This is yours to take home. That which is external, those things of the flesh which man sees, that is not the heart of what I am working. For I'm fashioning vessels prepared for my power and my glory. These are not days unworthy, but days worthy of glory. For that which I am working in the potter's room, I am working individually, which will meet a corporate need. For I am preparing vessels to be fit together, fashioned for my use. Fellowship is the heart of how I'm working, as hearts and time are given to me. The marks in each vessel that I'm shaping are inevitable. It is everlasting changes I am making. Vessels are in the hands of the potter, where room is being made for much more of me. Behold, the hour that is upon you, and the work that I am working, for the hands of the potter are upon you. Stay yielded to my working. Hear the voice of the Spirit. Hear the Spirit speaking. His hands are on each vessel. Everybody say, that means me. And it is of my pleasure that he is speaking as he fashions each one individually for corporate need. Hear the pleasure of the potter. Pay attention to these, for it is the foundation of my glory and the foundation of that which you seek. No greater time is there than the fellowship each one has with me. I am making marks that are enduring, marks of emphasis, that I may bring forth future things. Great is the beauty of that which my spirit is working. His eyes are smiling and he is pleased, for my honor is being worked in each vessel. For the day that is approaching, heed the call to draw nearer, ever nearer, for it is the heart of all things. Hallelujah. So they've got some scripture there, and you can look at those scriptures later just to identify, to back up that prophecy. The next one is, there are no dry times with me. I love this. It's amazing. You know, we hosted three services in a row from Dayton. I think it was three. No, there was a Wednesday night that they came back. But because the cold was so severe, and it was like they had so much snow, they diverted their services here, and we were privileged to do that. Last Wednesday night was one of those. You know, they had sub-zero weather, and the ice was so bad they couldn't get out, so they asked people. And Jim, after service, he texted me, goes, man, it was a wonderful service. He appreciated, what I was speaking on, and he said I had this prophecy right here that he was going to share with the people. So it was amazing. And so it's this one right here. Worship in the time of pruning and the time of growth can seem difficult, as those things that stand in the way of kingdom life are being overcome, and that which is weak is being made strong. Those things once hidden and now exposed to be dealt with can make worship seem difficult and somewhat dry. In my sight, I love this. In my sight, there are no dry times in worship. For all worship is received, and all worship is a means for me to bring about more of that which my spirit is doing. Hallelujah. Please, if you can get anything, there's no time in his presence. You may feel the dryness. You'll get past that. I love what Gary, I'm going to put my finger right there because I don't want to miss my mark. I love what Gary talks about what stops people from fasting. A lot of times they say, well, I got hungry. Well, yes and no. Your body can put up with a whole lot more than you think, And for us, for a lot of people in here, if they said, well, we're going to put you in a concentration camp and you're going to have to go 10, 20 days, you're going to break down, you're going to give us the information, we'd say, oh, wow. Boy, don't scare me like that. It's like, that's unbelievable. I can't believe you do that to me. I'm just making a point, is that your body can do a whole lot more. Gary says what causes people to break their fast is the emotion. It's the emotion. It's not your physical body can do a lot more than you think. Here's what keeps people from sitting there and giving ongoing adoration is because when it gets dry, it's like, oh my God. That's where a lot of times people, when they need to learn the worship, like I said, from the beginning, I said, it's not a cookie cutter. We can integrate praying in tongues, worship, and all that, and we can. And this doesn't contradict the original thought that I had or was teaching, but a lot of times people will revert back. You know, they'll spend 10 minutes in worship, and they're like, my God, this is so dry, and they'll just say, well, okay, I'm just going to go to the Word now, because they can't take that emotion of it being dry. That's when you really should stick with it. That's when that's a rule. Okay, here's an asterisk on what I said before. This is a footnote. If you've not learned how to get past the dry times, then defeat that emotion. And even if it's dry at the end of it, even if you say, well, I lasted a while here. I taught myself to get enduring in worship. Know this, this is what the Father says to us. On His end, it's not dry to Him. Just sit there and say, man, God, I know you're having a good time. I'm not having a good time. You're just enjoying yourself, and I'm glad you're enjoying yourself, but as far as I am, I'm miserable. But you know what? I'm going to be obedient. Okay, in my sight, there's no dry times in worship, for all worship is received, and all worship is a means for me to bring about more of that which my spirit is doing. So dry is not dry to me, but rather a beautiful and desirous thing. For I do abide in the praises of my people. And where I abide, I am able to do many, many things. I love and desire the praises, the communion of my people. For you were made for these things. And in our fellowship, I do great things, and more and more and more is always what I bring. This is a season of hidden things. What I'm about or what I am doing in individual lives is hidden from the eyes of that which surrounds you. But the days will come when what you have allowed me to do through our fellowship will be seen. The journey and the press, the reaching for more of me are not of light esteem, for I delight in your desires towards me. When you extend yourself in these seasons, I am nothing but pleased, for I see the choice you are making for me. Know my pleasure in the progress, for I look at the hidden things. I see what each one is giving me. Vessels of glory and honor I'm preparing, and the fellowship in the work of my spirit that brings about these things is above all pleasing to me. You were made for fellowship, and without the work I do, our communion, the glory of the outpouring, would not be seen. Hold fast to the heart of fellowship and continue to learn from me, for in these times I am bringing greater understanding, needful for where you will be walking with me. Great is the pleasure I hold in our fellowship. And in my thinking, there is never dryness. In your fellowship with me, it is always fruitful and accomplishing many things. I am so very pleased, for not only do I work a work each time you come to me or come to partake of me, but there are things that concern you which I am able to bring progress to, and things that require my intervention, my ability and power, and even the work of my angels. I am pleased to work in by varying degrees by the faith and yieldedness you offer me as you lift your hearts in fellowship with me. There are no dry times with me, for your fellowship is always received. I am so pleased each time you choose more of me. Hallelujah. Different scriptures there. Please take that home. Put it in a file folder. Read it tomorrow. Read it at some point. Hallelujah. There's a couple more.